Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM presents the World Tour of Taunton.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Terry and Jason for the World Tour of Taunton, and we are at the Museum of Somerset, and we are going on the hidden tour of Taunton.
We are indeed, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Being a Tauntonian, I'm sure there's loads of things that I don't know, and that's what I want to try and do. Two volunteers who are pivotal to this morning are Dave and Jan, and we're with both of them. Hi to you, Dave. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Yes, good afternoon.
Right, can you just tell us a little bit about what this is all about? I mean, the hidden tour of Taunton, so what are we going to be looking for?
Yes. Every year the Museum of Somerset tends to do a series of walks of local interest. This year we decided to look at all the buildings around Taunton that people perhaps walk past on a regular basis but don't actually know their history, and it's their hidden history which we're interested in and which we've researched, and when people come out with us they'll learn an awful lot of things that they didn't know about their own town.
That sounds absolutely brilliant. And how many of these do you do? It's going on all the way through the summer.
All through the summer, that's right. On a Wednesday afternoon and a Saturday morning.
Right. And we're with Jan as well. Hi, Jan. You
Hello.
Okay?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, you've obviously done some of these.
I have.
What's some of the pitfalls, any of the pitfalls as you take people around? I know we were talking about the yarn bombing, weren't we, that's going to stop people, but any real problems?
Sometimes there's a lot of traffic, which means you have to sort of find a nice quiet place to stand, but... that can be quite problematic sometimes, but on the whole, people just, you know, gather around and listen.
This must have taken quite a bit of research to do. I mean, we used to do a breakfast broadcast, and we did a couple where we just walked around Taunton, and I did some research for that. But I mean, the castle goes back to the 12th century, 1198 or something like that. So a lot of research.
Yeah, there are six volunteers who do the tours and also did the research. So we shared it amongst us. So I, for example, did some stuff on Magdalen Lane and almshouses and things like that. And I think sharing it means that we all learn from each other, which is really nice. And I just feel that it's not... The other part about it, which is so nice, is that you said yourself you're a Tauntonian.
Yeah.
And people come along and say, oh, my grandfather used to live here and he always said this, that and the other. And those are the bits that I really enjoy, you know, following on from the research, because each time we go, we learn something new.
Absolutely. Absolutely brilliant. Right, if people want to get involved in it, this, Dave, how do they go about it?
Coming into the museum in Somerset and just booking yourself in on one of the places or giving the museum a call.
And this is going on until September, October time?
It goes on until the end of September. And it's 11 o'clock on a Saturday, 2 o'clock on a
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Brilliant.
That's right, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Thanks ever so much, guys. That's Jan and Dave, who have the unenviable pleasure, if not, of having us bolting onto them today.
Yeah, we'll be wandering around the town with a microphone, trying not to get in the way. If you want details, of course, you can give the museum a ring on Taunton 255088. That's 255088. And it's just £3 to go on the tour, which is excellent value for something to do on a Saturday or Wednesday.
Absolutely. Do stay with us, because we are not quite sure what we're going to find, and obviously Jan and Dave will be telling us, but do stay with us. This is the World Tour of Taunton and Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM.
So it's Terry and Jason on the World Tour of Taunton, and we're on the tour, Terry.
Yes, we are. We're off. We've got seven lovely people with us, and as I say, we've got our volunteers. We're just walking across from the main entrance, and we're being taken to... Oh, we're going off behind the cafe. That's a bit of a shame. We might come back to the cafe at some stage to be told a few things, and we'll have to wait and see with bated breath as to what happens next.
Yes. I just briefly wanted to stop here at this rather unprepossessing spot to point you to the drain there to my right there. In the 1970s, while they were doing drainage work in this building, where the drain essentially goes under the floor there, they found about a metre beneath a skeleton, and in fact a number of other bones of women and children. But the skeleton was notable by the fact that it was legless. The legs had been cut away at the pelvis. Now it's actually quite a significant point in terms of the history of the castle, but I'm not going to tell you why that is now. Just let's go outside and I'll tell you exactly.
Right, well, we've left the main grounds of the castle now. We've gone round to Castle Green and we've gone round to the front of the castle. We're now listening to some narratives there. We're desperately trying to find out what happened to our legless man.
Yeah, let's catch up with Dave, who's going to tell us more about the castle.
Castle are sadly a bit lost in the mists of time. Our information about it comes from records and from archaeology, but there is still a little bit uncertainty. But we believe that King Einar of Wessex was closely involved at the beginning. He, in fact, was known to have built a castle in Taunton at about the 700s AD, but we don't exactly know where that was, not necessarily here. But what we do believe, either he or his successor's wife built a minster on this site, virtually around where we are standing. A minster being an old Anglo-Saxon church, probably quite an important church. It would have covered the whole of Taunton Deen. There wouldn't have been other churches. Now, on the minster site, there would have been a very large graveyard. It would have been covering, for several hundred years, the whole of Taunton Deen, as far as burials were concerned. So there would have been a huge number of burials within the area. If we'd had catacombs, there would probably be miles of them. We don't exactly know what happened to all the bones, but whenever they dig in Castle Green, which is where we are, there tends to be a discovery of those bones. Now, why would you build a castle on a site where you've got a church? Well, often minsters were placed in important central positions anyway, which would be good for castles, but also because there's no other houses to knock down, you've essentially got a clear ground. So that would be one of the reasons why. Now, we think that possibly, because there was a bishop's house here as well as the minster, there would have been an early defensive structure, what we'd call a motte and bailey. You might remember a motte and bailey from school, a sort of a hillock with a circular bank to protect it. And that may well have been at the beginning. But the main portion of the building began in the 1100s. And a chap called Henry de Blois, who was one of the bishops of Winchester, decided he wanted to build a castle, essentially, or build on what was there already. And he started. Though at that time, it would have borne no resemblance to what you see at the present. But it would have included a very large keep, which was a very large stone building, a bit like the multi-storey car park we have here. A great big one, which is now in the gardens, that you can see when you go through into the castle. Now, during this time of building, they were building into a graveyard. So if you go, we go back to the person, we don't know her gender, unfortunately, who had lost their legs. They were essentially buried there when Henry de Blois, or one of his successors, built the wall that we were looking at, or what would have been the wall. And essentially, the builders just cut through anything that they saw to build their walls. So they saw a skeleton, they would just cut through it, and that's how he lost his legs. His legs, in fact, are scattered around, but they obviously were detached. But they obviously had a very rough and ready attitude to the corpses. And of course, there would have been a great deal of bodies everywhere that they would have been digging. Now, the present form of the castle would be more 13th century time, when the moats would have been developed. We've got a moat here, an inner moat. Then we have an outer moat, which is Corporation Street, if you know Corporation Street, which is the large road behind us, behind those houses. We have got some maps going around. So the outer moat is now roadway, basically Corporation Street and part of North Street. So quite a large site. In the English Civil War, the building was quite severely damaged and had to be rebuilt. What tends to happen is that the castle changes according to military need. So at times of quiet, it tends to become quite ruinated, as they used to call it. And then at more active military times, it tends to be built on. The castle we now see probably owes a lot to Benjamin Hammett, Sir Benjamin Hammett, who we'll be hearing quite a lot about on this talk, who in the 1780s developed the site and made it as it is. So quite a long evolution to what we eventually have now.
Right, we're off on our travels again. I got a feeling we're going to be walking a bit today, Jace.
Yeah, so do I. I'm glad I packed my walking shoes.
Absolutely. We're going to let you listen to a little bit more music whilst we move to our next location. So do stay with us and we'll be back with you very shortly.
Taunton's 107.8 to Tone FM. It's Craig, Jason and Terry. Craig is here doing photography, not on air today. And we are here with the hidden tour of Taunton, run by the museum. And Terry, where are we walking? We're walking from the castle to somewhere else now.
Yeah, we have. We've actually crossed over the road by Debenhams at North Street, and then we're now walking up St. James's Street, up to and past the swimming pool. I got a sneaking suspicion we've got some more history coming very, very soon.
Yeah.
So, let's listen to Dave. He's just about to start. We're having a little bit of a fill-in before he starts, but let's listen to Dave.
There's a number of streets with interesting names. There's names like Winchester Street, there's names like Cannon Street, there's Gifford Street, and there's Priory Avenue. Now, all of those things relate to something that used to be there that isn't now there. And that was an Augustinian priory, a very substantial Augustinian priory. By Augustinian, I mean it was related to St. Augustus and his teachings. Now, this priory was originally on the castle site. Remember, we talked about the minster that was on the castle site. Well, that was the basis for a developing priory on the castle site, which at the point when, remember, Henry de Blois decided to militarise the castle site, around that time, the priory, well, he arranged for the priory to move over to this side of town, and he bequeathed a lot of land for them on this side. The priory was dissolved in 1539, along with lots of other religious establishments, as part of Henry VIII's sort of Reformation of Wales. And it was pretty much demolished. However, in 2005, they did discover substantial remains on the site. If you look ahead of you and see the building with the sloped roof, that's the old brewery. But just beyond that, on the right, is some new flats called St. Thomas More Flats. And while they were building that, and with the excavations, they found essentially foundations and other remains, bits and pieces of what would have been the priory. We've got a picture going round, I think, which both gives. As well as that, they found a lot of bodies as well, because probably I'd imagine they'd run out of space on Castle Green and they needed to build here. And in fact, in the buildings behind Cannon Street, they had over many years found quite a lot of both bodies and bits of building material. And in fact, in the roadway into Cannon Street there on the right, there's the WRVS headquarters. And in the wall, there is inbuilt some like old window tracery, which is like the frame, stone tracery. And they believe that is from the priory as well. Now, the only remaining structure from the priory is the old priory barn, which you may be aware is within the Somerset Cricket Ground and serves now as their museum. Now, the Somerset Cricket Club was founded in 1875, and it had a period of time, it was moving around the town, and then it decided to join forces with other sports groups within the town. Quite a modern concept, to come up with a multi-use stadium. And on the stadium, there was sort of like a cycle track and a running track and a cricket pitch. And they leased a piece of land known as Rack Field from a gentleman farmer for £50 a year. And that was really essentially the start of the cricket ground. Obviously, the other groups gradually moved away and the cricket ground was established. A few months ago, in time for the new season, the county opened a brand new Somerset Pavilion. And this was built to replace the old pavilion, which had stood amazingly since 1881. And just a last mention, in the museum itself, we've got a wooden screen upstairs in the medieval, the Somerset room, and that is believed to have come from the priory. And it was found in somebody's farm being used as part of a chicken coop. And they've cut a hole at the bottom of it where the chickens can go through. But it's amazing, there it is.
So, thank you, Dave. We're going to move on now, and we're heading back through St. James's Street. Terry, I didn't know Taunton had so many dead bodies. Are we okay talking about this on air?
Well, I suppose we are, because it's ancient history, isn't it? But you're absolutely right. It just goes to show. I mean, Dave said earlier on, didn't he, about the catacombs. If there was catacombs here, we'd probably have miles and miles and miles of them. It seems that we are... about the ghosties, then. Maybe, because I knew they do a ghost trip around, don't
they?
Yeah, they do.
I'm not sure. sure. Would that work on radio, do you think?
I'm not sure. We could go woo a couple of times, couldn't we? Okay, we're going to let you listen to a little bit more music whilst we yomp our way to our next destination. So do stay with us. This is the World Tour of Taunton, and we're on the hidden tour of Taunton here on 107.8 Tone FM.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Terry and Jason for the World Tour of Taunton. And Terry, where have we found ourselves now?
Right, so we've come up from St James Street and we've gone into Middle Street and then into what is known locally as Whirligig Lane. And I think we're going to find out why a bit later on. But we've found ourselves outside what was the Telephone Exchange not so long ago.
Do you know what? I remember that as well. It used to be the main exchange here in Taunton, this building.
That's right. And it's near the car park by the church behind county stores, but let's find out what we can learn from here. And here's Jan.
This is an area which, leaving out that little bit there, is all extremely new. Much of what we might have seen in the past has gone. And this is a picture from the top of St Mary Magdalene in 1820. So St Mary Magdalene is just up here.
So it's almost like you're looking from
From the top, looking down Hammett Street. So over here is what we're looking at, and it just shows very clearly how different it was. And all of these kind of buildings, if you read any literature, they're all described as courts, and people lived in them, but they were pretty grotty. They were really... the drains left a lot to be desired, and people had quite a difficult time in them. And you know, we walk around in town today, don't we, and we see these nice bricks on the floor, but it was a very different world in those days, and a lot of it would have been very muddy. Latterly it had flintstones, but even those would have been quite difficult to manage. Now there's a lovely book by somebody called Edward Francis Goldworthy, which you can easily get a hold of in the library, and it's just a chap writing in the late 1890s about his life in Taunton. And he describes his early years in Taunton, probably in about the 1830s. And he says there were two public privies in the town, one near St George's Place and the other in Half Moon Court. Half Moon Court was then a public thoroughfare leading from North Street, which is the main shopping street, into Whirligig Lane, which is where we're in now. So somewhere along here would have been this privy. And he goes on to say...
privies aren't new things, they had them then.
They had them then. Yes. And he says, I will not attempt to describe these phases. Suffice it to say, they were the most disgusting places I've ever witnessed, and quite enough to produce a pestilence. And I just like to say, really, you know, it's a timely reminder of the realities of urban life 150 years ago. And it's really from about 1850, I think Sir Edwin Chadwick in London developed proper drainage systems, and those happened. But Taunton had an awful lot of water, and it, you know, it's now all underground, and we don't see it. But it is still there. It also had a lot of pigs.
I always like to mention to the fact that just as we come into Whirligig Lane, that's part of the town boundary where there was originally, from medieval time defences in the form of a bank and a ditch, which went essentially all around the town. And there had to be routes in through that, and the route through there had a form of like a gate, like one of those turnstile type things, and that apparently was called a Whirligig, and so that was the reason why this is Whirligig Lane.
So, Terry, we've learned a lot about toilets in that segment.
At the moment, people would be forgiven to think that this is the world tour of bodies and privies. But, I mean, I genuinely didn't know anything about that. To be honest, as I say, I'm a Tauntonian, but it makes sense with lots and lots of water. But also to know what that used to be. I mean, all that area, which, as we say, was the Telephone Exchange, was all sort of houses and not very good ones by the sound of it.
Now, if you're listening to us and wondering what we're doing, we're on the hidden Taunton. It's a guided walk through the county town put on by the Museum of Somerset. You can also join us, not today because the tour's already started, but they are on Wednesdays and Saturdays right the way through until the end of September. You can get all the details by contacting the museum. If you want a book, you need a book because they are highly sought after. Just give them a call on 255088. That's 255088. The tour is about 90 minutes long, and it all starts, of course, at the Museum of the Somerset.
It does. And one last thing before we let you have a little bit more music, because we're about to yomp off again, is I never knew that a whirly gig was a rounded gate that let you in and out.
No, I've heard that lane, the whirly gig lane, described as people walk through the town, but I've never known the reason why, and I've learned that today.
Absolutely brilliant. Right, more music on the World Tour of Taunton while we relocate to the next place. I tell you what, I'm glad I've got my walking shoes.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Jason and Terry, and we are out for the World Tour. Taunton doing the hidden tours of Taunton. Lots of Tauntons in there. And we've come all the way from Whirly Gig Lane up Magdalen Lane, and we're finding ourselves opposite what is apparently used to be a hotel, Terry.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're opposite the County Hotel, I'm interested because I know that there's a lot of history in this. It used to go back to coaching days, I think. So I'll be very interested to find out what's going on. So enough of us.
Yeah, and let's Dave hear what is about Dave, to start.
Yeah, so over to Dave.
The Doyley Cart Opera performed HMS Pinafore here in 1910, and the first moving picture was shown here also at that time. And in 1950, Winston Churchill addressed 1,000 people in the Empire Hall to support the Tory election council. but as I said, it was a place of quite a bit of change. We have got a picture which gives an indication of what was going on at that time. Interestingly, it was called the Claridge's London Hotel. I've checked it, and there's no relation to Claridge's, the Claridge's in London or anything. I think, again, it was just because they thought it was a posh name and it would make it sound a little bit more impressive. But wonderful, wonderful vehicles, aren't they? They don't make them like that. Okay, if we'd like to just continue just moving along.
When did it close?
So, Terry, the old vehicles there in the... actually, they're just walking off and leaving us behind. But, yeah, Dave's now walking off. He's just showed us some old pictures of vehicles parked outside the hotel when it was in its heyday.
Yeah, absolutely. And interestingly, the different names of the hotel, how far it goes back, almost back to sort of a coaching inn. I have to say, as a Tauntonian, learning more and more. So I suppose we ought to catch him up.
Yeah, we did. Some more great music here on Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Terry and Jason with the World Tour of Taunton on the hidden tour of Taunton, supported, of course, by Somerset Museum. And we're having a fabulous time walking around the town centre. And Terry, we walked just down from what used to be the County Hotel to TK Maxx.
Yeah, we have. Not sure exactly why we're here, but there is we're outside rather an old building, which is right alongside TK Maxx. I think we're about to find out exactly why, and this one's going to be quite interesting, I think. So let's hear what Dave's got to say.
When did it close? We invite you to meet Madame Geneva. What do you think I'd be suggesting?
That's an interesting one. I hadn't thought of that one.
Sounds like a gin shop.
Ah, yes. A gin shop. This building here, very unprepossessing, extremely unprepossessing, was originally a gin shop. Now, gin apparently came over from the Netherlands in the Tudor times, brought by soldiers from there, and at that time it was believed to be a cure for the plague and other ailments. They come up with every excuse, isn't there, to drink the stuff. And it became a craze, the gin craze, which in the first half of the 18th century, it was popularised by the Glorious Revolution and the arrival of William of Orange from Netherlands. And it was called Madame Geneva, or on the basis of the Dutch Geneva, which where it came. Of course, as well as all the pleasure it might have given people, it caused huge social problems, and there was a huge amount of concern. The writer Daniel Defoe stated that the distillers have found a way to hit the palate of the poor by their new-fashioned compound waters called Geneva, so that the common people seem not to value the French brandy as usual, and even not to desire it. Now, quite what's healthy about brandy as opposed to gin, I'm not quite sure. Gin shops were often quite small and associated with a chemist. So interesting, isn't it, getting your beverages from a chemist, and probably because of its past history. This was one of those small gin shops. There was a lot of concern, and you might have seen an old print by William Hogarth, who was an illustrator, of a lady sort of drinking gin and letting her baby fall down And there was this belief, particularly with parents, that this was causing a huge amount of time. So after a time, there was quite a lot of banning of shops like this, and the suggestion that you actually had to be a much more established sort of larger organisation. So it had to, you couldn't sell from somewhere that was rented for less than £10 a year. It had to be a bigger one. And in the 1820s, the gin shops developed in something called gin palaces, which is sort of like the phrase, isn't it? Gin palace, which has come through history. And that was a bit like a wine bar. It seemed to be offering a whole range of gins in a comfortable environment. And so it did sort of rehabilitate it somewhat. And we're all still here, so the gin danger was not good. Okay.
Right, this is the World Tour of Taunton with Terry and Craig, and we just heard from Dave, and we're now talking about gin. So to sum it up so far, we have had bodies, privies, and now gin.
Yes, I never knew Taunton had so much to offer everyone. But yeah, I never imagined there was a gin shop right in the middle of Taunton in a pink building right next to two fairly famous stores. Won't mention them again.
No, brilliant stuff. I cannot overemphasize the fact that, as I say, I was born here, but every step of the way I'm learning something more. Right, now we're being left behind again because we're off on our travels. I think we're heading towards Castle Bow. So we'll play some music and we'll come back with you very soon when we've caught up with our team.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Jason and Terry for the... I'm getting tired of saying Taunton. It's the World Tour of Taunton. Of course, we've hidden Taunton tours from Somerset Museum. There's a lot of Tauntons in today's show.
I think we ought to change it to a town between Wellington and Bridgewater or just go to the county town. But it's inevitable because it's just Taunton today. Right, we've moved up under Castle Bow and we're sort of virtually underneath the portcullis. Hope the darn thing stays up there. We're going to hear from Jan now, and she's pointing at something towards ground level. Let's hear what Jan's got to say.
This little stone here, it's very clear what it says. This stone laid by Stanley Howard Burton, 1929. And, you know, at the front it tells us that it's Burton's in stone letters. Montague Burton founded the business in 1904, and by 1929 he had 400 stores. And by 1952 it was the largest multiple tailor in the world. He preferred prominent town centre corner sites such as this one, and his in-house style was Art Deco. That would make you look again at Burton stores, really. He was one of the suppliers of demob suits after the Second World War, and you would get a jacket, trousers, waistcoat, shirt and underwear. And this may have been the origins of the term a full Monty. It's just quite interesting to know. And the foundation stones of the buildings were laid at ground level, like this one, by members of his family. So that was his wife, Lady Burton, his grandson, Austin, and he had four children, Barbara, Stanley, Arnold and Raymond. And they all... So this one, we've got Stanley here. So the next time you go to another town centre, you can try and find the Burton's foundation stone.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM, it's Jason and Terry for the World Tour of Taunton on Hidden Taunton Tours from the Museum of Somerset. Now, we've just made our way all past I call it the Bingo Hall. Terry has a lot more history on that, and we're finding our way into Bath Place. What was the Bingo Hall before? It was Bingo Hall, Terry.
Well, it was a cinema. We used to have three cinemas in Taunton. We used to have what is now the Bingo Hall, and that was the Gaumont. Or the Gaumont, if you want to be really posh, and then the junction of Staple Grove Road and Station Road, where those flats are now, the Laverock Court. Of course, Les Laverock was the manager of what was then used to be the Odeon, and then it became the Classic Cinema. And then where Riley Snooker Hall used to be, up in Station, top of Station Road, High Path, that was the Gaiety, so we used to have three. And the Gaumont also used to have live shows.
Now, just in case there's a rumour of anybody seeing Terry and myself going in the Bingo Hall, we did go in the Bingo Hall, we didn't record in there, because the bingo session was actually live while we were in there, but we saw the wonderful building itself, because it's not changed since the days of the theatre.
No, it's not. The architecture is wonderful. One thing I thought about, I do bingo calling for prize bingo, but by crikey, weren't they quick? You had to be quick to mark your card.
It's actually professional bingo.
On it just, on it goes. Right, now we've come past the entrance.
Yes.
And we've come past the Forall's pub, and that's got some interest as well. And we're actually down in Bath Place. So Jan's going to tell us all about some of the things in this particular area.
Okay. This area was actually bought in 1791 by our old friend Benjamin Hammett, the MP for Taunton and famous of Hammett Street and of living in the castle. And after he bought it, he wanted to straighten out the kinks in the frontages. He demolished facades and rebuilt the street in the present line. And his son was responsible for this construction of terrace buildings. And if you look at them, you can actually see where the blinds and shutters were and so on. You can see where the things fitted in on the sides. I think it's one further up, you can see better. But obviously this was a row of houses and shops that were built with intention. And it is now a very popular little street. And it does have the knitting in. And I know the knitting's lovely, but we're here to look at other things.
Yes, so we have to
you can have to come back and look at the knitting if you want to do that.
Okay, so Bath Place, very busy. Jan is absolutely right. There is so much to see with the yarn bombing, Terry. I think people should come back and see it later.
Yeah, they should. This is all to do with Taunton Live, which starts on Monday. It's a festival of creative arts, music, all sorts of stuff. You can actually enter for Taunton's Got Talent, tauntonlive.co.uk. We could do that, radio, Taunton's Got Talent.
We could do. In fact, you know, none other than Craig Stone is one of the judges on that competition.
Oh, no.
He is.
That might stop us then.
He's bought the high trousers, the white shirt. He's going to unbutton it down the chest. He's dead in Simon Cowell's footsteps.
Oh, that would just brilliant.
We'll hear about that on the radio, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. The best thing about Bath Place at the moment, of course, is the yarn bombing. And that's there. And the theme is Alice in Wonderland, and it's just fantastic. You have to come and see this.
Yeah, and can I just say, if you're going in the evening and you go down there and you think, actually, there's not a lot here. Some of the stuff is put away overnight, but more importantly, a lot of the yarn bombing is actually in the shop window. So at night, the shutters come down and you don't see it. So make sure you go down to Bath Place while the shops are open, go and see the yarn bombing, and go in and spend some money there as
well. Yeah, absolutely. Right, we better toddle off because we've lost our team again.
They've left us behind.
They've left us behind. We're heading up Bath Place and out onto the high street. So we'll play some music and we'll be back with you very shortly. If I can just say to Jan and Dave, thanks very much from our point of view. Now, as a Tauntonian, as I said, I've learned an awful lot more than I knew before, without a shadow of a doubt. So thank you, Jan. Thank you, Dave. Right, now, some of the people that were on it are all looking at me saying, don't come anywhere near me, but I'm going to. Let me start with you. What's your name, please?
Elaine.
And what did you think of it then, Elaine?
Oh, it was a great tour. So many little snippets that I'd not known before about the town.
And are you local to Taunton?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I'm Leslie.
And what did you think of it today then?
I thought it was amazing. There's so much buried history here. It's just fascinating to hear about it.
Absolutely. Are you local too? I'm on to number three.
I'm Carol, and I only moved down here 2.5 years ago.
So this is really quite good for you
this
then?
This is really good for me to learn the history of the town.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant.
It's really good.
Brilliant. Hello.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I've been living in Somerset all my life and working in Taunton, you know, and living in Taunton since 2001. But, you know, you see these places every day, but to go on a tour like this, you begin to understand the
I suppose we really ought to look a bit better, didn't we, and look around.
Yeah.
Right. The only gentleman on the tour, who I know is a pretty upmarket, because he's the only one that talked about the snooker hall on top of Burton's. Your name, sir, is?
I'm Phil. I'm from the Isle of Wight. I'm visiting a friend here who said, while I'm at work today, you go out and have a look round and learn about the town.
Right.
And
so
it's really interesting.
And so you didn't know much about Taunton beforehand
at all?
No,
I've seen
then. The
bit around the castle and done the museum.
Right.
But all the other bits around the narrow streets and all the plaques and things is fascinating.
Just good stuff.
They haven't even looked at these old buildings and thought they're old. I thought they were copies.
Yeah, haunted that one. Judge Jeffreys, the one behind us.
Next.
Yeah, the old Tudor Hotel.
That'd be really
yeah,
good.
So they say. Hello.
Hello.
Your name, please?
Maria.
Are you local, Maria?
Yes, I am. So just recently, we moved here about 3 years ago.
From where did you come from?
Over the border in Devon.
Oh, we won't hold that against you. And what did you think of it?
Very interesting, yes.
It's really good, isn't it? Good. And last but not
My
least,
mum.
And this is Maria's mum.
Yes, really,
Are you
really
local or did you come over the border as well?
I came from Axminster.
So you've escaped from Devon
as
well.
Yes, yes. I mean, it really does make you open your eyes and see things
from a different point
of view. And they're a bit good, these two, aren't they, in their discussions? They've obviously done a lot of research.
And really interested in what they're talking about.
Brilliant, great. Chase, how's your feet, mate?
Yeah, very well, actually. It wasn't too bad. I'm looking forward to an ice cream in the visitor centre before we leave.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, really good idea. Craig's here as well. Craig, I know you've been taking some pickies and wandering around. What do you reckon?
What do I reckon of what, the ice cream?
Thing, yeah.
Or the whole thing?
We know what the ice cream's like.
Absolutely amazing. Like I said, some golden nuggets of information about Taunton and really what has made Taunton it is today. So really spectacular. The tours are running up until September. So Wednesdays from 2 p.m, Saturdays from 11. Visit the Museum of Somerset for more details.
Or telephone.
Yes, you can call them on their telephone number, which is, thank you for that, Terry.
I tell you what, it's very slick this, isn't it?
It's Taunton 255088. That's 255088. The tour costs just £3 and you should reserve your place. You can get places on the day, but it's best to ring up and reserve your place on the tour. And of course, it's Hidden Tours of Taunton.
And that was that was the World Tour of Taunton. And it's great to have, but this is really, really good. Now, you need to stay tuned. Lots and lots more to come. Don't forget Eclectic Sunday. I'm taking over from Adam tomorrow morning. And then you've got Frank at 12, Doug at 2, Tony at 7. It just goes on and on.
It does, until Monday when it's breakfast with somebody called Terry.
It could be me again.
Stay tuned. More great music on your favourite radio station. It's Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM presents the World Tour of Taunton.